Good morning, if it is morning. This is Sven Gulli, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling.
Scrolling for October 19th, 2021. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflav.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Chip, I thought for sure that you were going to introduce yourself as Obadiah Stain.
Obadiah Stain? What? Obadiah is such a great name, Steve.
Do you remember Obadiah Stain from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the Iron Man bad guy? With the beard and the bald head.
Oh, you're suggesting that I've got a beard and a bald head, Steve.
Happy Halloween, everyone. And let me introduce my friend Obadiah Stain, who's here to help us with our arc reactor.
Steve, Christmas will be here shortly, and you know, somebody's got to dress up as Santa Claus.
That's what you're headed for. That's awesome. I look forward to the joy of Noel.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Chip, you got a chance to see the brand new James Bond movie, No Time to Die. Tell us all about this one.
All right, Steve. Well, for those of you who have been watching James Bond from the beginning, what do you know about these films? These films usually have wonderful openings. They have all sorts of fun music numbers that will get, you know, where you start off at, and you've got some kind of stylized introduction into the movie, and there's usually a great theme song. And this film has all three of those things. And they also have my favorite James Bond, which I will say is Daniel Craig. Hmm. So what I think that this trilogy has done real well is shown what the challenge of being a spy would do to a human. And Daniel Craig's character is a person who is certainly, he drinks a lot. He's certainly being double-crossed quite a bit. There's some real challenges, and he is this superhero of a person. And Daniel Craig is the best at it. So of all the James Bonds, now think about that. You've got Sean Connery.
And look at me now, Moneypenny.
Exactly. Well, anyway, Daniel Craig is the best version of that, I would, by far. I think that this is a really good trilogy. This is not the best film at all. I'm going to say this is 60, 55, 60 out of 100. But I will tell you that Freddie Mercury, I thought he had passed away, but he survived to be in this movie, and then he died in this movie. So I don't want to give away spoilers. Okay. But there you go. Freddie Mercury passed away, Steve.
All right. I am intrigued by that. There's a great lineup of stars in this one. Rami Malek as... Is he possibly the bad guy in this one?
He is the bad guy, Steve. He was the bad guy in the first film okay. of this trilogy, and he has returned, and once again he looks so much like Freddie Mercury, Steve.
Ralph Fiennes is in there as M, and Ben Whishaw as Q. Is this a good Q, or is this a closer to John Cleese Q?
This is a great Q. Okay. In fact, the entire cast is beautiful for this film. And in fact, they confirmed something in this film that many of us knew, but we may not have accepted. The 007 designation mm-hmm. is just a designation. Mm-hmm. So if that 007 passes, another person could take that number. Hmm. And they did not confirm it in this film, but one of the theories is that James Bond, the name, is also a designation. It's and that would explain how different characters can play this one man. That was not confirmed in this.
Oh.
So if Steve took over the 007, he could be James Bond.
Interesting.
Well, the idea is to hide, you know, Steve, if you're a spy on this level, mm-hmm. your family, any person that you come into contact with would be at risk, right? All they would have to do is not find you. They would find your family or something like that.
So the Bond family is protected because there is no Bond family. That's just the designation of that character. Interesting.
Yes. And once again, that is not confirmed in this film at all, but that is one of the theories.
And certainly the other theory is that he's a Time Lord from Gallifrey.
That could be the case.
That I understand. Give me a reason to understand it from a Doctor Who perspective. I can understand this spy thriller. So you said this is not maybe the best of the Daniel Craig, but Daniel Craig is the best of the James Bonds.
Yes, and I think that this is a fine finishing up of the trilogy.
Okay.
So what do you get from a James Bond film? You get these incredible stunts. You get these high chase type of events happening. You get technology, and you get some kind of thriller going on because it's, you know, there's spies and stuff like that. This is very, very nice in this. I do think that there is some stuff in it that you could pick out that say, you know, this is kind of hokey. But you know what? It took forever to get this thing out there. And I enjoyed seeing it. I saw it in the theater, and it was worthy of my time. I think that if you like James Bond and you want to go out there and see a film, I don't think you're going to be disappointed.
If you wanted to stay in instead, I've got some kind of fringe movies that I watched this week on some of the fringe streaming networks. The Paramount Plus and Peacock networks were getting my attention this week. The first movie is called Queen Pins. This is a silly little movie based on a true story of a pair of housewives who created a $40 million coupon scam. This is featuring some of the big names of Hollywood right now. Kristen Bell, Vince Vaughn, and a whole all-star cast. This is a fun, fun little adventure.
Is this a comedy, Steve?
It is a comedy based on a true story that is not a comedy because these two women are in prison for this fraud, $40 million fraud that they created from coupons.
So tell me a little bit about how they created this type of scam.
Boy, how much spoilers do I really want to give to this silly little movie? The striking part of the scam is they had fraudulent coupons brought across the Mexican border into the United States and then sold them online. That's international mail fraud. And Vince Vaughn plays the postal inspector who finds out about this and, weapons drawn, enters the home of these ladies and arrests them.
All right, and this is playing on Paramount Plus, which mm-hmm. was CBS All Access. Am I correct?
Correct. This is one of the CBS properties. Remember, Paramount is the parent company that owns CBS and Showtime. This is a TV movie that could have been on Showtime, but now that we are in this era of streaming, Paramount Plus is offering us some interesting titles like this.
Well, Showtime has a name. It's interesting that Paramount just seems like this is going to get lost in the streaming wars.
I absolutely agree with you on that. I think that this is a fringe title on a fringe streaming service. If this was on Showtime, it would have gotten more eyeballs, I think.
Well, it seems like that, and not to get too crazy on this, but Showtime, just like HBO Max, which should just be HBO, mm-hmm. Showtime should be the streaming app that all of the CBS and Paramount stuff throws through. But, you know, what am I, Steve? They're going to go with Paramount Plus.
Branding is important, and they're going with Paramount Plus. They're trying to build upon that. I think they should just call it the All Star Trek channel, because that's pretty much all I use Paramount Plus for, is to watch different kinds of Star Trek.
So there's the Doctor Who channel, and then there's the Star Trek channel. Steve, there's another streaming service out there called Peacock. Tell us a little bit about what you watched on Peacock.
Yeah, talk about bad branding. Peacock is not a word that you can say without giggling just a little bit on the 12-year-old side of your head. On Peacock, the NBC streaming channel, yes, that's confusion in the marketing, they brought out Halloween Kills this weekend. This is the sequel to the Halloween movie from 2018, written by Danny McBride, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Will Patton, Judy Greer, and Anthony Michael Hall.
Danny McBride, the comedian?
Yeah, he wrote both the 2018 Halloween movie and this 2021 Halloween movie, and you can absolutely tell that the dialogue is coming from the mind of that man, Danny McBride.
So tell me a little bit about this. Was this a movie that was supposed to be at the theater?
This movie did open in the theater this weekend, Chip, and those of us who didn't make it to the theater got to see it on Peacock. It was one of those simultaneous releases this weekend.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And so was it worth it? Worthy of your time?
I enjoyed this movie. Full stop. You know, I'm not a horror movie fan. I don't enjoy horror movies in general, but the nostalgia of Halloween, the really good dialogue from Danny McBride, the acting from these all stars, this was a fun murder slasher film. It's a straight murder slasher film. It is in that same vein of Halloween from 1978, and it's got all the nostalgia of that movie from 42 years ago, including a digital version of Donald Pleasance in this film. Yes, Chip, I enjoyed this film.
Danny McBride, I usually take as a comedic performer, mm-hmm. Certainly kind of the ultimate, like, clueless guy.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a comedy?
This is not a comedy. He is a comedic performer, but in his writing, he is not necessarily a comedic writer. His writing here is very well done. The dialogue is very strong. It tells the story in both visually and in the dialogue.
Oh, how awesome.
I like this movie very much. The reviews will be mixed. I've seen quite a few reviews of people that did not like this for various reasons, but it's got something. There's something to the nostalgia of going back to 1978 and giving us footage from that original Halloween movie and driving home how this one man, Michael Myers, came to be and how dangerous this is in our society. I enjoyed this. I even enjoyed Anthony Michael Hall in this. How about that?
Well, yeah, he's been a long way since 16 Candles, Steve.
Yes, he's definitely a different actor from then. Speaking of differences, there's a new version of the Dune movie coming out this week. This is the adaptation of Frank Herbert's science fiction novel from 1965. It was made into a movie in 1984 by David Lynch. And now Denis Villeneuve is taking his version of Dune to our screens.
And for our people from New Orleans who are listening to us, that's Frank Herbert.
Frank Herbert, Denis Villeneuve, and Timothy Chalamet. This is an all-French production.
This looks really good. This is going to be streaming on HBO Max. I guess you can see it in the theater too. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to this. This is a book I've never read. And in fact, I may have watched the David Lynch version, but it didn't really resonate with me.
Yeah, it was kind of a mess because David Lynch was David Lynch and he was taken off of the production mid-production, and it wound up being a pretty big mess of a movie that did not do well in the box office in 1984. I've heard great things about this new adaptation.
Well, speaking of French, Steve.
Speaking of Timothy Chalamet, There's a movie coming out this week with Timothée Chalamet. It's called The French Dispatch. This is the latest by Wes Anderson. I look forward to this one a lot.
This looks very good, Steve.
Wes Anderson's always good. He's always a little bit weird, just weird enough, not quite David Lynch weird, but this one I will seek out for sure.
Well, maybe we'll have a Pepe Le Pew with him.
That's not offensive at all. There's a children's movie coming out this week called Ron's Gone Wrong. It is one of those animated films very much for children, featuring an all-star cast, Zach Galifianakis, Olivia Colman, and Ed Helms. The actual Ed Helms, not the Ed Helms of the northern suburbs. The actual Ed Helms is in Ron's Gone Wrong.
Do you mean North Carolinian Zach Galifianakis is going to be starring in this thing?
Yes, that's exactly right. This is the story of an awkward middle schooler and Ron, his new walking, talking, digitally connected device. I look forward to this movie. I look forward to talking about this movie with my awkward middle schoolers.
Well, maybe between two ferns, we can have an interview.
Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You know what, Chip? It is mid-October, and it is time for my annual viewing of some of the historic monster movies. I say that I don't like horror movies, but I love the Universal monsters.
Well, Steve, I can absolutely imagine why you enjoy those, because, you know, it's getting dark so quickly now. It's like the days have become really short, and it's getting cold outside. It's a good time to kind of revisit those.
So the Universal monsters started with Frankenstein and Dracula, and then the Creature from the Black Lagoon entered the iconic piece of that history of those movies. And I gotta tell you, Chip, I really enjoy the Creature from the Black Lagoon movie. It is a great story of discovery, of nature, of humanity, and I never really thought about how wonderful the Creature from the Black Lagoon costume was. I looked at it and I went, wow, that's pretty cool. The story of the creation of the Creature from the Black Lagoon is an amazing story. This week I read The Lady from the Black Lagoon, Hollywood Monsters and the Lost Legacy of Millicent Patrick. This was published in 2019 by Mallory O'Meara, and it is a fascinating biography of this woman who most people have never heard of. Her name is Millicent Patrick, and she designed the Creature from the Black Lagoon and the mutant from Metaluna in this island Earth. So I was sold on this book from the beginning.
So was she originally cosplay?
If you wanted to talk about 1950s cosplay, she was certainly one of those fashionable people that was dressing for her own personal lifestyle before it was okay for a woman to wear the clothing that she wanted to wear. That's one of the stories in this story.
Well, tell me about that, because I don't know anything about her. Tell me a little bit about how she got to do this.
Millicent Patrick was one of the first animators at the Disney Corporation. She was an artist who was in the right place at the right time to be a part of that beginnings of filmmaking and a lot of interesting art in the 1950s. She went to an art school that Walt Disney then adopted as the art school that was going to carry artists into the Walt Disney Animation Company. She, from this story, this biography, she was an amazing, strong character who had all sorts of life that happened to her, but she persevered.
Was she an actor too, or was she just was she a set designer? Was she a person who worked in clothing? How did she get involved
All of that. She was an icon in all of those industries. She was a fashion model. She was an actress. She has many different films to her credit. She was an animator. She was an artist. She designed these monster costumes. It's amazing how many different parts of my fandom Millicent Patrick was a part of, and I had never heard her name before I read this book.
And so why haven't you heard of her name?
Well, that's the tragedy of this story, is she lived in the 1950s, and she was under the tutelage, is the nicest word I have, of a lot of men who really were jealous of her particular artistry, and she was restricted. She was not allowed to claim that she was the one that designed the Creature from the Black Lagoon costume. She was told by her boss he designed it, and she was absolutely never to reveal that he was not the one who created this iconic costume for the Creature from the Black Lagoon. She went on a tour of the country to explain this art that she made, and she gave credit to the boss instead of taking credit for herself. It was only when the boss passed away that she was then able to reveal the truth of this. And lots of people still argue that that can't be true. She's on record as saying she did not design it. It can't be true that her story changed after the passing of this man. She must be lying. And the story of this biography by Mallory O'Meara, this is an amazing investigative story. She writes it in first person. She writes about how she got into this investigation and where she went across the country and talking to the people who were part of Millicent Patrick's life and finding these details. This is a glorious biography.
Is this an important book?
In my opinion, knowing the creators of the things that I love is incredibly important. I love going to conventions and meeting those people, those producers, directors, actors, voice actors that make those things. I think it's incredibly important to know those stories. I think that that's what all we are at the end is just stories. And the story of Millicent Patrick, I think, is an important story. I think we can learn a lot from the idea of giving credit where credit is due. I think we can learn a lot from jealousy and lying in order to get something that you want. I think there's a lot to this story. She is not. She unfortunately passed away before the author Mallory O'Meara started her whole investigation into finding her. Just missed her by just a short amount of time. But she did find her niece, who had so many different artifacts from Millicent Patrick and was able to share with Mallory all of the stories of her aunt whom she loved. And so we get a real intimate view of this woman that most people have never heard of. I love this book. I really suggest it. I think that anybody who's interested in iconic monster movies like The Creature from the Black Lagoon, I think you would love this. It's called The Lady from the Black Lagoon, Hollywood Monsters, and the Lost Legacy of Millicent Patrick by Mallory O'Meara.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. There's some old men in the news this week, Chip.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to shoot them into space, Steve.
Conk him on the noggin and shot him into space. William Shatner went to space this week, Chip. This was the big headline of the week.
He went to the final frontier, Steve.
And he looked out the window and just muttered, wow, while he was up there.
These were the voyages of Blue Origin.
Yes. William Shatner, 90 years old, was able to get onto a rocket from Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos' company, and go up into space for 3 minutes. It was a 10-minute flight, 3 minutes in space, and he came down and he had such wonderful words to share about this experience. My favorite Shatner quote this week is, "I hope I never recover." It's life-changing to see the Earth from space.
Well, he's boldly going where humans haven't gone before.
And then he came to Chicago for Wizard World. So there you go. How was your week, Bill? Oh, I went to space and then I went to Wizard World. There you go.
So the fun thing that's going to happen is he's going to go to this convention and he's going to get maybe a couple questions about Blue Origin, but he's going to get a lot of questions about T.J. Hooker.
There was a story. There was a story on CNN. They were trying to find somebody to interview about Shatner going into space. They found one of the co-stars from T.J. Hooker. So they focused on T.J. Hooker on CNN. The other old man news this week, author Gary Paulsen, the author of the book Hatchet, passed away at age 82 this week.
Well, have you read Hatchet?
I know Hatchet because it is taught in my school. All of my sixth graders were reading it this week when Gary Paulsen reportedly passed away.
All right, so it was the 1986 Newbery Honor-winning young adult book, mm-hmm. which I had no idea. So there you go, Hatchet.
Yeah, this is one of those books that we absolutely have in the curriculum about young people persevering, about young people finding a way to survive. In this case, in the wilderness, there's a plane crash, and this young person only has his hatchet to survive in the wilderness. And he wrote a ton of other books. There's so many other Gary Paulsen books, and most of them are about survival. Most of them are about you using your wits and how you, as an individual, can make a difference.
Steve, if you had a robot dog this week, is there something you'd like to attach to it?
It happened, Chip. We knew it was going to happen. The robot dog that we have been talking about, not the Amazon robot dog, not that one, the other one, the Boston Dynamics robot dog, somebody mounted a giant gun on top of it. So now we can be afraid of the robots.
Well, my goodness, Steve, what could go wrong? I haven't watched any films that could possibly lead me to any areas that could be wrong.
Once again, there is a Black Mirror episode where very specifically they took the idea of the Boston Dynamics robot dog and made it into a weapon that maybe we should be afraid of. That's the future. Dogs with guns.
Well, Steve, we have a group read that's still on the table that you can join us next week.
Yep, our Halloween book of 2021 is The Last Werewolf by Glenn Duncan. Pamela Bedore is going to join us next week and read this book with us. This book was released in 2011. It is a, boy, oh boy, it is a sexy werewolf story, Chip.
It's an adult story, Steve.
Yeah, it is full of adult situations that make you think about how we work in our regular lives. We'll talk about this next week with Pam, but the metaphors are abundant in this story.
Well, there you go. If you want to join us, pick up the book. We'll discuss it next week. You can send us all sorts of questions, and we'd be happy to present them for you.
That's great. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
Yeah, come back next week, talk about werewolves, and talk with Pamela Bedore. Always a thrill. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear your questions, answers. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and YouTube. We would love to hear from you. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassimpla.
We'll see you in the future. What I want to talk about is what I want to thank you for, what I want.